Good morning, I'm Robert Tansley. I'm Life Science Partner at Cambridge Innovation Capital, and I'm very pleased to be sitting here with Dr. Tom Weaver, co-founder and CEO of PetMedics. Tom is a scientist, an academic, and serial entrepreneur who's been closely involved in the genomic revolution over the last three decades. Having washed up on these shores as a postdoc at the LMB 30 years ago, Tom has interspersed an impressive academic and scientific career with being a serial entrepreneur with a number of very exciting companies within the genomic sector. More recently, Tom founded, alongside his two co-founders, the animal health company PetMedics, which we at CIC is a seed investor. And I'm delighted to speak with Tom today and to talk a little bit about his experiences both as a scientist, academic, and a serial entrepreneur. Tom, it's great to see you this morning. I introduced you as a scientist, academic, and entrepreneur, but which of those do you most identify with?
All right. Well, thank you, Robert. It's a real pleasure to be here, and I don't recognize a lot of what you said, so it's very, very humbling. Yeah, that's a really good question, and it's pretty obvious to me as I'm a scientist. You know, it's in my bones. I think it's part of my nature. You just have to ask my kids. I'm constantly bombarding them with questions and observations. It drives them nuts. And I think probably this relates to when I was a student. So when I was an undergraduate, I studied both mathematics and biochemistry. I had a double major. And I really enjoyed math, and I just loved it. But I was never very good at the academic math, the complex math, you know, the really abstract concepts. I was good at the applied mathematics. In fact, many of my friends were engineers who were studying mathematics as well. So I was a scientist who was studying math really in from the applied way. So I loved differential equations, matrix analysis. So I was doing Excel before Excel existed. So I think that's always been my approach in science. I've always taken a much more hands-on, sort of practical, applied view. And that's followed me, I think, through my career. So often involved in technology assessment, technology development. You know, here's a problem, Tom. Can you solve it? You know, look at what the potential solutions, what are the technologies that can help us solve that problem and then implement them. That's, I think that's what I like to do. And to me, that's science. That's not really academic. I'm not a professorial type or anything like that. It's much more the basic application of science to solve a problem.
One interesting part of your CV is when, as director of the Mary Leon Center, mm-hmm. in the MRC supported center, you spun out a company, which must be one of the early examples of an academic institution spinning out a commercial organization.
I think maybe you're referring to the setting up of Gene Service, which was out of HGMP. For those that remember the early era of the Genome Project, before shotgun sequencing, or a special type of sequencing, which allowed you to assemble genomes without mapping them in the first place, we spent a huge amount of time and a variety of different technologies of how to map genes physically before we would then sequence them. So it was like you'd have to put together a jigsaw puzzle of the physical map of the genome first, and then you would Pac-Man sequence across it to accomplish the genome. And that was the purpose of the Human Genome Mapping Program. Which of course became redundant with the advent of shotgun sequencing and the completion of the human genome. So what I did was that unit was sort of coming to an end, and I had the idea of why don't we spin out a infrastructure, a service company, based on the genomics technology, which was basically DNA sequencing, microarray analysis, and we also produced genes that had been cloned, and we actually sold sequenced genes to people through the post. And so I pitched that to the MRC, and they supported it. And it was interesting, again, at the time, that view of commercialization. There were plenty of people literally told me, you know, Tom, you'll never make money off sequencing service. Everybody will do it themselves. Why would they go to a company for DNA sequencing? That company now in the UK is the, you know, it's doing over 1 million sequencing reactions a year for as a service. I've also, this similar time point, people said that bioinformatics, you could never raise money for doing bioinformatics in a company, and we know that's not the case. So you have to sometimes have belief in your idea and be able to, you know, have the confidence and be able to sell that, obviously, to people to come with you as you set the venture up.
And we first met when we made the seed investment in one of your earliest companies, Congenica. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you could tell us a little about how that came about.
Yeah, so that's it's a great segue because that is essentially a bioinformatics company. We invented I'm not sure if we invented it, but we very early days called it genome diagnostics. So the concept was could you sequence the human genome and use all that information that you get from that sequence to make a very accurate molecular diagnosis for a patient. And this is really important because genetic disease, although individually quite rare, there's 7,000 of these kind of conditions, if you look at them cumulatively, it's actually quite common. And so using current technologies at the time, it was really kind of a find a needle in a haystack if you could make a molecular diagnosis for one of these 7,000 conditions based on, oh, I think it's gene X, let me test gene X. Oh, it isn't gene X, so I'm back to where I started. There's no diagnosis. And so patients would go through an odyssey of a variety of different tests. It could take years before they got a proper diagnosis. Using genomics, we thought we could apply, look at the entire genome, the whole landscape, and could we very quickly and accurately make a diagnosis based on that analysis. And so the concept came up really through my colleague Richard Durbin, who's a stellar scientist. He's a mathematician who turned into genetics, moved into the field of genetics. He was one of the founders of the Sanger Institute and the founding scientist for the genome program here in the UK. And he developed many of what are now textbook methodologies for assembling genomes and analyzing genomes. But he's also a personal friend of mine, and he called me up. I was in Oxford at the Mary Lyon Center, failing to spin it out as a company. And Richard had this idea of, could we create a research grant to go to the Wellcome Trust to fund a infrastructure for sequencing patients to better diagnosis for these genetic conditions for rare genetic disease. And I thought, okay, I've had experience writing grants, been relatively successful in receiving grant funding, but I don't want to do it. This is a perfect opportunity to set a company up. Why don't, Richard, let's set a company up. And my wife actually came up with the name Congenica. Let's set Congenica up. And I think this has more potential to be successful in the long run than setting up a core infrastructure, say within the Sanger Institute funded by the Wellcome Trust, because we can move quickly. We have great relationships through the research programs of Richard and his colleagues at the Sanger into the NHS. So we have use cases, so we can very rapidly develop the software to accomplish this. And we'll be able to raise capital, and we'll be able to be independent from having grant funding. And we can make a long-term sustainable company in doing that. And together with the founders, we developed a prototype software. We also actually were able to afford a porta cabin. So we started with the classic porta cabin on the genome campus. But importantly, we were able to develop a prototype which we then applied to a competition. Genomics England was just started a national program for sequencing patient genomes for the NHS. We won a competition on the best analysis of, I think it was 6 patients at the time. And I was really proud of that, really winning that competition because we beat some multi-billion dollar, corporates who were trying to do the same thing. So a few individuals with a vision, we were able to accomplish that. And then that led to further funding, and Cambridge Innovation Capital, which we're very grateful for, came in at our Series A. And we were able to then use that to obviously fully commercialize the platform and also move beyond working with the NHS, but working in other countries. So we had a very early on an idea of NHS validated, use the NHS as a use case, but then take it internationally adopted this technology. And so Congenica now is working in the United States, is working in China, it's working in Europe. I think the vision that we had in 2012 when we founded the company is really coming to fruition.
Yeah, it's one of the most exciting genomic diagnostic companies. 60 people there working there, and as you say, very international focus. And then the link with, I suppose, your most recent venture with PepMedix is kind of world-leading academic scientists who were among your co-founders. Tell us a little about PepMedix, and then I'd like to come back both to your experiences in gene service and Congenica about working with academics, but sure. PepMedix is something we're very excited about.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of angles you can take in that question. The first is, why do it again? And I think that, for me, it's the excitement of starting something, having an idea, a vision of something, and actually seeing it through. And so I was approached by Alan Bradley, who, like Richard Durbin, is one of this country's most accomplished and respected scientists. But when he came back to set up the Sanger in 2001 or 2002, he had this vision of using chromosome engineering in the mouse to effectively humanize the mouse. And he's an immunologist and an amazing technologist, genome engineer. So he came up with ways of introducing human genes into the mouse in a very clever way that allowed the human genes to be used in the same way that the mouse genes were. And because the focus was in immunology, you were introducing the genes that encoded antibodies from human into the mouse. And so what that meant is the mouse was perfectly viable, and you could immunize this mouse with human proteins as antigens, and the mouse could then generate antibodies against those antigens in a completely normal way that happens in mammals. But instead of mouse antibodies, they're human antibodies. And these human antibodies can be used as therapeutics. And this is a transgenic approach to making human therapies, which is now gaining huge traction. He set a company up called Kymab, which is doing really well here in Cambridge. So really established, cool technology. Alan reached out to me and said, "Tom, I want to set up Kymab for dogs." And I thought, okay, that's interesting. Of course, this was over a glass of wine, because all the best science, I think, are done in very sociable environments like that. And after initially kind of laughing, I thought, oh, but this is Alan. There's got to be something to this. And then it took me about a minute to think, oh, actually, this is really cool. It turns out, because I knew nothing at the time, but it turns out the animal health market is absolutely huge. It's also massively underserved with current technologies. So our companion animals, our beloved dogs and cats, our pets, they suffer from the same diseases that we do, like cancer. And so I think, dogs over a certain age, 50% of them will develop cancer and die. So it's a massive problem in animal health, and there are very few treatments for it. They certainly haven't benefited from the kind of treatments that we've developed in human health. So the idea of translating excellent technology like the Kymab technology that's worked so well in human health, let's bring that into animal health and make a difference, really improve the lives of our pets. It took me probably about a couple of minutes to get, oh yeah, wow, this is really cool. But mainly it was the attraction of getting to work with Alan, to starting again, do another company, build, put the band together, see this concept all the way through. And I think that was certainly my motivation. And we started that a few years ago. It took us about a year to get the funding. So like all these things, I think a good message for young entrepreneurs is, oh, I've got this idea, I'm going to get the funding tomorrow and we're going to get started. From that glass of wine to actually getting money in the bank and setting up facilities, nice lab operations on a Cambridge Science Park, that takes like a year to do if you're serious. And but it's exciting.
Tom, it's been a pleasure spending some time with you, and thank you very much for taking time to share your thoughts. Thank you very much for listening, and if you'd like to learn more about CIC and PetMedics, please join us on our website, which is cic.vc. Thank you very much.